Good evening and welcome to Paranormal Roundtable, PRT for short. My name is Josh Turner, also known as Wolf. Most of my friends in my daily life call me Wolf, and you can call me Wolf too if you consider me a friend. And I wanted to let everybody know we have a show, and a link to that show's website. It's called PRTpodcast.com. That's PRTpodcast.com. You can hit me up through my email, which is joshturner@prtpodcast.com, joshturner@prtpodcast.com. And if you want to send anything to the show, the address is 6001 West Palmer Lane. Let me make sure I got this correctly. 6001 West Palmer Lane, Suite 370, PMB 131, Austin, Texas, 78727. Palmer is spelled P-A-R-M-E-R. So that's 6001 West Palmer Lane, Suite 370, PMB 131, Austin, Texas, 78727. We've actually gotten a lot of interesting things that have come to us. Pretty cool stuff. So, and I appreciate each and every one of you who've sent things. And as always, we do send things too. We have a giveaway for this show. It'll be like all the other shows. We put the link up. The official link to the giveaway, we'll put it on the Paranormal Roundtable page on Facebook. So you'll go to Facebook, and there will be a link to this show. Leave your comment below. You know, yeah, I loved it, I hated it, whatever. And if you leave a comment, and you'll be entered to win a prize for the week. And we give away all kinds of stuff, PRT swag. If you're from out of state, you will get some pretty cool Texas souvenir merchandise. And you all always, as always, you'll get an autographed book. So this week will be no different. And also, don't forget about every month we have the Willie Williams Art Contest. And so each month we have a different cryptid. As of the recording of this show, this is being recorded at the end of June. So I can't tell you exactly what the cryptid is. But whatever it is, make sure that you enter it in your submissions, and don't forget about that. That happens every month. Our groups on Facebook are Paranormal Roundtable, which is the main group, and then we have Josh Turner, the fan page, which was made by some fans, and then we have the Josh Wolf Turner, which is the official fan page. And then we have the official Paranormal Roundtable page. Then we have Paranormal Encounters, which is Tony's. And then we have Paranormal Lounge, which is Nellie's. Then we have Whisper to a Scream, which is Ryan's. Now, we're all one big family, PRT. And we all work together. And we function as a unit. And that's how we do it. That's how we roll. So, that being said, what else do we have going on? Anything else?
I think you just about covered everything. There's the website, the email, the Facebook groups, giveaway, the art contest.
Let's see.
Mailing address.
Mailing address. I already got that.
Yeah.
Friend request. If you send me a friend request on Facebook, I will not approve it unless you let me know that you are a listener of the show. And if you don't tell me that, then I'm not going to approve your friend request. Simple as that. Had too many problems with trolls. I've had some things going on with different people, a couple different people, so I just have to be real careful. So there's that, and so I guess that's it. Without further ado, we can introduce our guest. Anthony, you want to introduce our guest?
So tonight we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Shotzi. Would you like to introduce yourself, Shotzi?
Yes, I am Shotzi. I live in Utah. I am married and have 5 kids. 2 dogs and 2 cats, and love and life, and love to camp. That's really it.
And you are, so you claim that you love life. We'll get back to that later. I'm just kidding. I'm sure you do. I'm just joking. I was like, yeah. Okay, so.
Got to keep them honest. You never know.
Yeah. You claim that you love life. So you claim. But so here's the thing. You are a Ute, right?
Yes, I am. I'm a Ute. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You and so you're Native American. And do you live on the reservation, or are you not on?
I lived in the next town from the reservation. Okay. In Roosevelt. Yeah.
Okay, in Roosevelt, Utah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that being said, we've been friends for a long time, and yes. we've talked for years, it seems like. And, so you have had some experiences, and so we talked, and I wanted you to be able to come on and tell the stories in your own words.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Because like you have quite a bit of stuff to, so I just, you know, you want to start from your earliest experiences as a child, or do you want to go forward into, where do you want to begin?
Oh, I could just begin anywhere and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fireworks.
Is that what's okay. going on?
Yeah, fireworks.
Oh, that's why the dog is freaking out.
That's why the dog's yeah. is barking.
Poor thing.
Yes.
At least it's not a skinwalker or a dogman.
Or is it?
Well,
you know. Oh, you know, no, he's probably shooting off fireworks, eh?
So... Do you have your earliest experiences that you had were when you were how old were you?
Oh, okay. I was young, about 12 years old, and my dad was working for some people, his sister, and well, he called him her sister and stuff, but there was a incident that was happening up in this town up north from Roosevelt, and they were some happenings going on with Bigfoot, and so they decided, well, you know, we're going to go look for some cows and calves and whatnot, and they went out and they did it by foot. They didn't do it by horse. They did it by foot to get the cows and stuff because it was just a small pasture. So that when they went out, they saw one of the calves had been sliced open, it seemed like. But it was more like ripped open, and there was entrails that was gone. The liver, all that stuff was gone inside. Even the eyeballs were gone, he said. And they said that it was because of the Bigfoot that was roaming around in that area. And so, anyways... they said that it was roaming around that area. It was getting into people's trash. It was messing with the dogs. And they decided that they would just try and chase it out of there. But I don't know what became of that after that. And so I was like, 12 years old when that happened. And later on, as it went on into the 80s and stuff, I used to party like all the time, and I went to this, it was before I even knew about Skinwalker Ranch being a hotbed, you know, a hot spot. And there was a party there on this homestead that was like west of the main homestead there. And we were partying there. You could see things running through the trees. Ooh. And it was running through the trees. My friend was asking me, what are those things running over that way? So we thought it was just somebody, you know. And somebody was looking at them, and they were saying that they saw some eye shine, or, you know, did you see that and everything? And I'm like, no, I didn't see anything, you know, but I just seen the shadows running through those trees because it was surrounded by trees and everything. And it was like a really old homestead there. And so that was one of the things that kind of like, what's going on here? But, you know, on the res, it's the res, you know, it's, everything's going to happen on the res, you know. And a lot of people had stated once, you know, there used to be like a little party place down there that people used to see things running around or ducking behind the sagebrush and all that stuff, you know. So that was kind of eerie to think about. That really kind of stuck out in my mind. I never really told anybody because people will say, well, you guys drunk and, you know, whatever, you know, but when you're sitting there and you see it, you sober up, you know, when you see something like that, it kind of frightens you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the times that, I seen it was something really different, you know, to actually see things like that running through, you know, like shadows. You just like a, it's just a mass, you know, running through there. And it was really crazy because some were small, like they were like crawling on the, you know, on their, say on fours, you know, and some were just standing up, running around, which was so, so eerie to me. And yeah, me and my girlfriend seen that. That was pretty crazy. And some other few people seen them too, but they saw the eye shine. I never did. Yeah, so
these,
that was one of the things.
So these shadows, were y'all able to make out the shapes of them? Like, did they have a humanoid shape or like a canine shape? I mean, what?
Yeah, it was a humanoid shape. Yeah. It was pretty tall too. It was really crazy because, you know, you can distinguish between a man and a person, you know, the height and everything like that. And yeah, it was, there was like four of them that we saw. Yeah.
And do you think that they were Sasquatch or, you know, I mean,
they were tall and skinny. They weren't big like a Sasquatch would be. No, they were tall and skinny and they were slim, you know, and they're, oh geez, it's really crazy too, because their arms were like really weird because they weren't like real arms. They kind of looked like they were like longer than it should be. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And I kind of like nervous when I talk about that because I never ever told my husband or anything. I never really told anybody till now, you know. And so that's one of the things that happened down there. And I was on the ranch, and the guy that was a guard down there at the Skinwalker Ranch, he said I knew him, and he was a really good person. And I introduced him to another person that's on TV too. And he, him and the guy got really good acquaintances, and we got really good acquaintances with the guy that was on the ranch. And he was telling me, you went and partied on this hot spot. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He goes, that's when everything was running around happening. You know, and I was like, oh, wow, I did not know that, you know, because I didn't know that they were having those issues back then in the 80s, you know. So it was really, really, really crazy. And so with him, when he was the guard there, he said everything that was stated in his Skinwalker book, The Hunt for the Skinwalker, was all true. And they had incidents there, like, well, one lady that worked there said that when she put her coffee cup somewhere, it would be like in the bathroom or, you know, like on another counter or something like that, you know. And so that was the only thing that I got from them. And it was really peaceful down there and everything. And then he had two dogs. There were two black dogs that were there. They were just so friendly and playful and used to get in the water and jump on us when they were all wet with paws and everything. And it was me and my daughter. We usually went down there and visited him. And every time he saw us, he'd always go and come to the gate and talk with us. And so, yeah, it was a pretty, he was a pretty cool person. And so... But one of the people that went, we went on Skinwalker Ranch one time. It was me, this other guy that was on TV, another guy that was a producer, and my daughter. We went on the ranch, and it was at nighttime. And we walked up, and we were like on the ledge of one of the hills. We looked towards the north, and we saw this red light. It was a red light. And it was going across the plain or the plateau of it. We didn't know if it was like a bike, because it looked like a backlight of a bike or motorcycle. But when we was looking at it, it was going straight across, and we're like, that is something else. That has to be like I don't know, because there's no roads in that area right there. And so it was just floating across, and then it stopped showing itself. And we seen that going towards the it was going towards the west. So when it did, it stopped, and my look at that over there. So we all looked over to the west of the ranch, and there was a white light, like a little, like a white light, looked like a cigarette, a little cigarette or something. And it was coming towards this where the red light had disappeared, and then it was gone. And we're like, would that have been a car or something? But there was no cars in that area or roads in that area where we were looking, you know. And so we're like, okay, well, that was one experience that we did, you know, that was crazy. And so after that happened, the next day we ended up going to Dark Canyon, which is like 12, maybe 9 miles from the north of Roosevelt. We went up there to go and find Bigfoot, you know, go up there and do some things. And this guy, he wanted our friend, he wanted to find out what was up in that dark canyon, because he went to these other dark canyons and they weren't the real ones that he went to. So we had to tell him which one to go to. There's two places that is dark canyon, but we took him to the one that was above the place where it's supposed. We
That's
went up
that was in
there.
southern Utah, right?
This was in northern Utah.
Okay, because I remember.
Eastern, yeah,
Yeah, I
Utah.
knew it was in the east, but because I know Bryan Head. I thought there was a place near Bryan Head called Dark Canyon. Not in the wooden. Maybe I'm wrong. I could have swore that because Bryan Head's, you know, it's only about 3.5 hours maybe from Las Vegas. Unless the Mandela effect has changed that. I don't know. But yeah, it's like who knows now? I mean, but I've been all over Utah, and I had a good friend that was a Ute, and y'all's name for, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the name for Bigfoot was Pocoho or Poco. How do you
I
say
have
it?
no idea how they say it.
Yeah, it was called Poco or Poco or Poco. Anyways, it means like the old hairy man.
Oh, okay. I've never heard Bigfoot in Ute. My dad just used to call him Big Guy. The big guy that lives in the trees and the mountains, you know. So
Well, you know what's funny? I mean, people think that, you know, there's all this, like, you know, each native American tribe has their own this and that, you know, and it's funny how outsiders don't, they really don't understand reservation life. Like, I can't understand it. My cousin lived with the Shoshone for a long time, so he has like a better understanding of it. And heck, he even went to jail up there, with, you know, on the reservation, and he was with a Shoshone girl. But like, whenever you're immersed in that culture, you know, it's like another life. It's a whole nother. And my friend, who was Ute, and he introduced me to his grandfather, and he said his name was Grey Dove, and they had this whole little ceremony, you know. And I was there, and I was like, "Oh, this is pretty cool," you know. So he comes up and he starts like rubbing my hand and going and chanting, you know, in this weird kind of chant, you know, in this circular motion of my hand. And he's all like, "Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh." And I was like, yeah. What? He goes, "Your hands are very rough. You need lotion. You need to put some,"
Oh my
you know, he's like, he goes, and then he goes, "Right now they're a little bit dirty. You might want to get some Purell or something." I was thinking he's gonna give me some profound, you know, like wisdom he's gonna bestow upon me. And then he just went back to chanting and dancing, and I was like, wow. And so I asked my friend Johnny, I was like, "What is this?" He goes, "Well, we're just hanging out, dude. We're just drinking. It's no big ceremony." And I was thinking we were there for some kind of big, you know. But it was just you're just hanging out, you know, just having a good time. So,
Oh,
yeah. But everybody thinks there's some big. But I just remember him talking about Bigfoot and his grandfather calling it the Pocoho, or Poco, or so, I can't remember how it's pronounced. But anyway, that's what I thought that the Ute name was for it. But I mean, it depends. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, they live around the reservation. I got some friends up there near their Mescalera, and I talked to them about it. You know, and the young their younger generation, they don't know anything about any of those stories. They're just like, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, I had a couple people that I met when I was staying at the Inn of the Mountain Gods, and one of the guys worked there, and I got to know him pretty well, and he was telling me some story. He's a security guy. And his nephew, like, he's like, dude, he goes, my nephew, he knows nothing about our culture. Like, he's like, you know, and then I met him, and, you know, one day I was up there, you know, and I was up there for a few days, and we were gambling, and I met his nephew, who actually did security too, and he looked totally different, and, like, he had long hair, you know, which a lot of Native men still do wear long hair, but... And that wasn't unusual, but, like, after I saw him after his shift was over, he was wearing, like, a Megadeth shirt, and he, you know, and he was, like, hanging out riding his skateboard, and I was all like, oh, okay, like, yeah, there's a complete different, it's a whole different culture, you know, and he knows absolutely nothing of what the, what his, the previous generation, like, they're two different people, you know.
Uh-huh.
And but it's sad, though, to see that, because that's why I try to instill in my nephews to pass on those stories. My great grandmother was Comanche. And I think it's important that a lot of natives did not have a written language, and most of them didn't. And so storytelling and retelling the stories and the names of places and things, and, you know, that it's very important. It's a very important aspect of the native culture. And so I'm glad that you're able to come and tell your, you know, these things, because a lot of people don't have any clue what it's like in that life, you know? And, and one more thing I want to say, when you're talking about Skinwalker Ranch, now a lot of people don't know this, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of this. As a Ute, the Navajo were the enemies of the Ute.
Right.
And the Navajo put a curse, like they cursed the Ute. Of course, there was back and forth. It wasn't just, you know, and there was intertribal warfare at one time. And so the area of the Skinwalker Ranch, that land was cursed by the Navajo medicine men, and it is in the path of the Skinwalker. And so the Utes tend to avoid that area, the ones that I met anyway, because there is a curse upon them from the Navajo. Yeah. So anyway, so you were over there partying, just thinking, hey, this is, you know, just a good time, and not realizing that you're in enemy territory, I guess, right?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Yeah, and so you saw what could have been shadows of a Bigfoot, or they could have been human, like, you know, shadows or demons. But you don't know. You have no idea, right?
I have no idea what they were, no. Yeah, as like I said, this is the first time I ever said it here, because it, you know, it never bothered me back in the day or anything like that. We just talked it out, you know, whatever. But I was sober after that happened. And we went home. But yeah, it was crazy. It was very crazy to see something like that running around, you know. And we just thought it was somebody out there. You know, because it was just an old house, you know, and they didn't have no bathroom. So we just talked it up to somebody out there messing around and, you know, using the bathroom or something, you know, I don't know. It was really crazy.
Well, so, when stuff like that happens, you have to rationalize it somehow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so you became friends with, and I'm not going to give away his name, but I think he wrote a book too. I think
yes, he did.
He did, yeah, and I know who he is, and so I think I've read most of it. I never got to finish it. I hate that. I'm like the world's. I'll get halfway through a book and then I can't never get to it. But he wrote a book. It was his memoirs or something like that.
Yeah,
pertaining to that. Yeah, and like I said, if you don't want to say his name, that's fine. But he was connected to the ranch, and now you said that you talked to him about Skinwalker Ranch, and that he told you all of it was true.
Yeah. And even the guy, the guards guy, he said it was all true. The woman that worked there said it was all true. All the stuff that did happen on there, it did. And, you know, all the stuff that happened at the ranch, some of it just died down. It just died down. And so, but there is still ongoing little bits and pieces of things happening there. You know, there's things that look in people's windows, and as exact, you know, for one person that told me, she, her friend was in his room, and he lives above Skinwalker Ranch, and he said that he felt like somebody was watching him or something was watching him through his window. So he went over there and he went and, you know, pulled his blinds, and he said something was standing there. And now his house, his window is far from the ground. It's not like your usual, it's like way up. He said this thing must've been probably 7 or 8 feet tall, because it was gray and it had like almond eyes. And I don't remember the nose, but he said it was gray and it was just looking at him. And then he threw down the blinds and went in the living room and told his mom, I guess. And he said that was the only thing that he saw. He said he saw, but when he went out there to go look for prints, he said it was just no prints, because the ground that it's on, it's hard, you know. So he didn't see any prints or anything like that on that. So that was one of the things that they said. Now, getting back to Dark Canyon, as we were going up there, we and was walking along this old log road. We went probably a half a mile, and it was just me, my daughter, and this guy. And we were walking around. We went around this corner, and there was this one little corner space there that you could just, it had a little campfire there. You could build a tent there if you wanted to. And we passed it, and we were like talking, laughing around, banging on the tree, you know, and sitting there yelling Bigfoot things and everything like that, you know, just ordinary things that, you know, you want to hear Bigfoot yelling around and everything. But anyway, as we were going, we said we better turn back because it was getting dark. So we decided to go back. And as we was going back, I saw this light just flash. And I was like, what the heck is that, you know? So I didn't say anything to the guy and my daughter. We just kept on walking. And I seen it again. And I was like, what is that? So I didn't say anything. So as we passed that part, we were walking and we could feel something watching us. And my daughter's like, I feel something watching us. And I'm like, I don't know. But before we went in there, you know, we didn't feel eerie or nothing. It was just a regular day. But as we were leaving, we started going faster, me and my daughter. And then when this guy turned around to look back of us, he said, did you see that? And I go, what? And he goes, it looked like a camera flash. And I said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I seen something, you know. So he was like, let's go over here. And my daughter's like, no, you know, because he's the guy that kind of goes out there and looks for it. Anyways, we went over there and we were looking and we didn't see anything. So we're like, okay, let's go back to the trucks. And as we were going, we were like talking, you know, getting our mind, you know, deflecting our mind to something nice, positive, you know. And we could feel something just watching us walking towards the trucks. So as we got to the back of the trucks, we were talking about stuff, and he brings up demons and talks about those. And my daughter's like, let's not talk about those, you know. And we're like, okay, well, we better get going. So we got in the truck. As we were entering our truck and he was entering his Jeep, we smelled this really awful stench. I mean, it was like dead animal mixed in with freaking trash that's been out for days or something. It just came out of nowhere. Just the wind just carried it. And the guy, he's like, "Did you smell that?" And I go, "Yes, I did." And my daughter was like, "What is that smell?" And I'm like, "I don't know what it is, but we better go, you know." And so we got in our truck. We went down, and there's these three old cabins that was the Forestry Service cabins, but they're abandoned. So we pulled into there, and we were just sitting there, and we were talking with him. We were both in the truck, and he got out of his Jeep, and he was sitting there talking to us, and we could hear knocking sounds coming from the cabin. And he was like, "Did you hear that?" And I go, "Yes." He goes, "Let's go over there." And we're like, "No," you know. So I, you know, I'm not brave, you know. And so he's like, "Did you?" And it did it again. It just knocked really loud, and it was on a log. It was a log cabin, or yeah, it was made out of wood, so it was knocking. And we're like, "Oh my gosh." And then all of a sudden, there comes this car just coming rearing up through this that was coming up from the main, on the main road, the main dirt road. We were like 100 yards from this main dirt road, but as it was going by, someone stopped really fast, and they can't see us from there because it's dark, really dark, and they can't see us. And it stopped, and it just made this really like a holler. He hollered, like, you know, that you would hear natives holler and stuff, and it was like a warrior call. And we're like, "Oh heck," you know. And when it stopped, the you know how the dust will just go right in front of your vehicle when you stop, and it does that. It never did that. And I'm like, I noticed that, and I was like, "Oh, we better get out of here." So we all get back in our vehicles, we back up, and he goes flying down to the main road, flying onto the main road. Now this main road is very rocky, but we started hauling butt down that road. As I was looking back, this tail light, it just vanishes, and we're like, I told my daughter, the tail light, it's gone. It's not there. So I don't know if they turned it off or what. It was weird. So we went down, and that was the end of the night and of that. But I don't know what that smell was, but it was pretty rank, and it was really, really weird. And my daughter said, "It's not, it smelled like dog," is what she said, "like a dog, like a wet dog." So I was like, "I don't know, you know, what it just smelled really awful, you know." And so in that same area, one time, me and my husband, it was in Uinta Canyon, which is below Dark Canyon. We went up there to go camping, and it was our end of September and the beginning of October in that area. And we were just in a tent camp, you know. We went up there. There was just a camp hostess, but he was gone, and there was nobody else up there. So we were like sitting there. We stayed up there for 3 days. The first night, it was dark. We heard coyotes yipping, doing their thing. We had a hoot owl that was by our camp. He was hooting away. And we were like, okay, we went bedded down and everything. Nothing, you know, nothing happened that night. The second night, we were like, okay, we don't hear the hoot owl. Everything gone quiet. And we said, "Let's just go to bed." And we went to bed, and there was no coyote shipping. And it was about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And I decided I need to go outside and do things. And my husband was snoring away and everything like that. And all of a sudden, just god awful scream. It was huge. It just resonated into your body. That's how bad it was. It was loud. And we knew then that was the Bigfoot. It was huge. And he was close. And we're like, my husband gets up out of a dead sleep and just grabs for the gun, and I'm just sitting there like wide awake, you know, because it was just crazy. That was the next day. He said it was a donkey, you know, because there was donkeys in that area. And I was like, that didn't sound like no donkey to me, you know. So we went that way, and it was really crazy. And we went home after that. You know, we stayed another night, and hopefully we were want to hear it again, but we never did. So after that, my daughter had told me one time she was coming home from another town below Skinwalker Ranch. And as she was driving, she was going 50 miles an hour, and there was this thing that was running across. She said she saw it coming out of this dip along the road, and it come up, and it was running across the road. But it looked like, you know how strobe lights, she said, is strobe lights kind of make you have that little the movements when you have a strobe light on. It has some movements.
Oh,
like
right.
That.
Yeah, it makes the motion look kind of choppy instead of just fluid.
Yeah, yes. She said it was a small man running across that road with just like that. It was just going choppy across the road. And it went down into another ravine. And she was like, I'm going to go home. She went and just kept going because she's like, yeah, people state they see things that run around down there. There's little people that used to live in this old Bala Hollow Resort, and it was a hotel, and it was abandoned, and so they decided just to tear it down because it was an eyesore, you know, and so they said when the construction workers were there, they saw these little people running out of these buildings. And they were running towards the reservation town down in that area. And they were looking back at it. They were looking back at them, and they would give them really mean look, you know. And it was like, maybe because you guys went and tore down their house, you know.
Yeah.
They'd be mean looking at you, but they said they're mean people. And my dad always used to tell me, when you see smoke coming from the ground or you go by a cedar bush or a cedar tree or something like that, leave something there, like tobacco or a piece of clothing.
Oh, because you're in their territory.
Yeah.
Why cedar?
Cedar trees, I don't know. He just always told me never, ever camp by cedar trees because that's where the little people stay. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so we never ever did camp by cedar trees or anything like that. So it was different on that part. I was like, okay, we won't do that. You know, it was just something that old people told us not to do.
Okay, so what are we going to do, Anthony? Yeah.
Well, if I see little people on our property out there where there's a bunch of cedar trees, I don't know, I guess I'll try to stomp on them, squish them.
Oh my god.
Well, the alternative is that they come in our house and they're running around in our AC ducts
and
stuff.
Trilogy of horror. Now, she just said to give them something.
Yeah, to give them something.
Well, I'm bigger and stronger than them. They should give me something.
What if they give you like a spear in the back while you're, you know, making a sandwich or something?
Well, then I'll give them a boot to their tiny little face.
Oh my god, you're so violent!
Oh my gosh, how could you do that to him?
I'm bigger and stronger.
I guess because he's thinking of like satanic Smurfs or something.
Yeah,
Satanic Smurf.
Yeah, I don't trust those little sneaky things, whatever they are.
Duende.
Mind your business, and I'll mind mine.
And in Spanish, we call them duende, and they're not a good thing either. You don't mess with them.
Nature is merciless.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And we have cedar trees all over our property. We gotta get rid of them.
Well, if you see little holes of smoke coming through, then you never know.
I'm pouring gasoline down those holes.
Oh my gosh, they never
Wow.
did nothing to you.
They're just living their lives.
And they're never going to. I will make sure of that.
Well, they say one cedar tree, a full-grown cedar tree, takes 30 gallons of water a day. They
Oh
suck
my
the
gosh.
land dry. Yeah, it turns everything to rock.
Yeah, they're greedy little greedy ugly trees.
And they turn and then they destroy all the other vegetation around them. So
Oh.
they're a invasive species here in Texas, so we get rid of them, we burn them out.
Oh my
But
gosh.
what
Yeah,
if
we
the
got
little
a lot
people
of
are,
those here.
I mean, what if the little people are actually using, or they're the ones taking the water? They just use the little cedar trees as their con, like an aqueduct, to redirect the water to them.
All the
I
more
don't
reason to
know.
burn them and squish them and whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Wage war on those little people.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys are
Well, they
crazy.
use magic on you.
Yeah.
Not gonna work on me because I'm protected, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
There
Not if
you
you're
go.
stomping
Amen
and
to
killing them
that.
for no reason. It's called
No.
divine punishment, righteous fury.
Oh my God. They're gonna have righteous fury if you mess with them for no reason. You gotta leave them some. Just say, give them some tobacco.
There you go. Just give them tobacco and then they'll leave you alone.
I'll spit some
'Cause you
dip
gave
out in
them
that.
something
I'll spit some
instead
dip
of
in that little
waging a
hole.
war.
Yeah, instead of waging a war. Knowing one of our nephews though, he'll give them some other kind of something, and then they'll get
Oh
all high, and then they'll start attacking us.
They'll come knocking on the door asking for more.
I
Oh
gave him
yeah.
some of the vape juice, dude.
Then they probably want to come and get snacks too, along with
Yeah.
After he's over there giving them the Delta THC or whatever it
we'll
is.
give him the little Keebler elves snacks.
Keebler elves
I always thought that in the,
whatever
when I
those are
think of
called.
these little Duende, I always think of that little trilogy of horror movie where that thing was chasing that woman around with the little spear. I thought
Oh, yeah, the
that
little
was.
African
Oh,
doll.
the cat's eye.
No, not Cat's Eye. Cat's Eye is a weird little creature too. He's the little monito. He got thrown into the fan and got he got killed or whatever. But I
His
mean,
little knife laying there.
that's what he gets, man. He shouldn't be messing with. Now, there was this little doll. If you're, it's an old movie. If you look up Trilogy of Horror,
Oh, the one that has the crazy hair and a
yeah.
wide mouth.
Yes, and he runs around chasing that lady. I mean, granted, the lady was pretty annoying. She seemed like she needed to be chased around, but
A Karen.
she seemed like she was she'd made some too many complaints or something. But yeah. So anyway. So you had a pretty colorful, you were hanging out with this individual who knows a lot about the Skinwalker Ranch, and y'all spent time together.
Yes, we're really good friends. Really good friends.
And can you divulge any of the stories he's told you?
Okay, one story to share with you is that one time he said that he was on the ranch and he was just, messing around and just doing his thing. And he said in front of him popped up this wolf.
Whoa,
It was
like just
a
a wolf?
yeah, it was a wolf that popped in front of him, and he said he couldn't believe it because it was gray and it was looking at him. And then all of a sudden, he said he just was gone in a cloud of smoke, and it was a big cloud of smoke. And he said that was the only experience that he had there. He must have different experiences, but that was the experience that he had seen.
See,
And
that's so weird. I don't know what that is because, okay, there's a place out here called Devil's Backbone, and the Devil's Backbone is kind of like a stretch of road that's almost like Skinwalker Ranch, but it's like a larger area. And the Devil's Backbone stretches between like three different towns, and it's weird because there was a sh it was on Unsolved Mysteries, and on Unsolved Mysteries, the kid that was possessed, he ended up he said that he was he himself, I think, was part native descended, but he saw a vision of a wolf, and he said that it leapt into him, and I did a little investigating on that particular story, and from what I was able to uncover from locals and people that were in that area that had heard the story, what they told us was that the guy had said that he was it like literally leapt into his body, and it was a wolf, and then he gained all this knowledge of all these different historical events that had taken place, and he knew everything about that place after that happened. But he doesn't remember, after he went into a trance-like state, he doesn't remember anything he did or said while he was in that trance-like state. And now they touch on that on the Unsolved Mysteries episode. And, of course, it was Burt Wall that wrote the books about that. And then, but that's interesting because, you know, Skinwalker Ranch, you're talking about your friend having the wolf. He sees the wolf. Yeah. Now, do you remember when the folks moved in, the first family, I don't know, that actually came out and talked about it, they bought the book Hunt for the Skinwalker by George Knapp.
Yeah, the Shermans.
Yeah, the Shermans. So they had all these because I read that book and I remember they had all these things happening, and the very first incident that took place was a supernaturally large wolf.
Yes.
That just showed up and wasn't aggressive, it didn't do anything untoward, and then all of a sudden it decided to attack a calf. And then they shot it multiple times, if I remember correctly, and nothing happened. Like pieces of flesh flew off of it, but it didn't hurt it. It didn't kill it. It didn't lay it down. Didn't do anything.
They said that the wolf came up to the guy, the man who owned it, and they were petting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he saw the calf moving. That's when he went over and latched on. That's when they started shooting him.
Yeah, and at first it was like, I can't remember if I read it like that, like if it was petting him, because I've heard that story, I've heard it told that way, or if it just came up real close to them and was friendly. But I think you're right. I think they were like petting it or something, and then all of a sudden it just kind of veered away from them and went after one of the calves and just attacked it. Now when they started shooting it, it didn't do anything.
No.
Nor was there any blood.
Nope.
And that is, if you stop and you think about it, folks, okay, that is how evil also gets into, you know, it shows up, it's benign at first, and it's all like, hey, I'm cool, you know, let's all be friends, you know, and then it turns and boom, it bites it victimizes something or someone, you know, and then that's how it always happens. That's how evil gets into, and then if the good people don't do anything and try to stop it, well, then the evil just continues to devour. That sounds like a classic demonic move right there. Mm. You know, and then of course that's the whole theme. You know, is this that he saw a wolf, the guy out of Devil's Backbone, same thing. He sees this wolf, the next thing you know, he's being taken over by some sort of spirit. I don't know. I mean, it just makes you wonder. What's going on with that, and why that particular animal?
Yeah.
You know, why does it choose that form?
I have no idea, but he did see that. He said he just freaked out. He didn't know what to do. He just seen it appear out of nowhere, and then poof, it was a cloud of dust and smoke and black, gray smoke. I don't know, but it kind of freaked him out, and he wanted to know more because he's, you know, he's that type person that is like, I want to see more.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Was he out by himself when that happened, or did he have people with him? Or?
I think I'm not sure if he had somebody with him or if he had. I think he said he did have somebody with him because that person freaked out too. And he's a pretty good person. He's a really cool guy. You know, like you said, he has a book that came out. He's got another book that's coming out. And he's coming out here probably end of this month, you know, to look and stuff. And, yeah, to look around some more. And, yeah.
Well, tell him to get in touch with me. And you know, maybe he can come on and talk about some of the stuff that he's got going on, the investigations. He doesn't have to divulge everything, but you know, he can tell the listeners about what's going on out there.
Oh yeah,
because he's that would be very interesting.
Yeah, Yep, he is a very interesting person.
Yeah. Well, and you are too. So let's get back to you. Like you had, okay, so at this point in time, you're in your early 20s, right? The last incident.
The last, yeah, I was like in not my not the one up in Dark Canyon. I was, gosh, 49, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
But,
you had the incident that at the Skinwalker Ranch, you were in your early 20s, right? That was when this
I
first.
was in my teens.
Oh, you were young, real young.
I was very young, yes.
Yeah.
I was about 17, 16, 17 when that happened, yeah.
Okay. And so that was only like 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, that's.
I'm giving you a hard time. I know that my age, I always tell everyone that I'm older than I am. I'm always like, I'm 35.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't look a day over 30. I'm like, I know.
Oh, I see. I know what you're getting at, eh?
No, I use skin cream. My wife's got all this stuff that and there's all kinds of it, and it's all in the bath in the bathtub bathroom. So I just start putting it on my face, and I started looking younger. But I can't even tell you what it is or why it is or what it does. And when she said, "What are you using?" I said, "I don't know, that soap, that bar." She goes, "I don't use that." And I was like, "Well, I'm using it, and it seems to be working." You know? And she's like, "Well, I don't use that when it's not expensive enough."
Turns out it's some kind of bathroom cleaner.
It's a bathroom cleaner. It's liquid plumber.
Oh
You know,
my
oh, no
gosh.
wonder it's eating away the bags under my eyes. I was wondering why that. Oh, like, oh, yeah.
That's
Next
crazy.
time you see me, like, my eyes are falling out the bottom there, you know? No, it's some kind of soap, but she doesn't like the way that the bar, like, it's kind of comes apart, you know? But us men, we'll just keep using it until it crumbles into dust. So, yeah, I just keep
Oh,
using
that's
it.
the truth.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll have the 5-in-1 of the bath wash. It only not only is it a toothpaste and a mouthwash, but it also it cleans your hair. It's also a gel for your hair if you don't put water in it, and it's also a body wash
And the hand sanitizer.
and a hand sanitizer.
Ah, oh, there you go.
I got it at
Safety
the
first.
men's Bath and Body Works, the Wish Bath and Body Works. It's called It'll Do. It'll work.
It'll work.
So what we got going on? Okay, so let's back up for a minute. You went to this to Dark Canyon, and I swear there's two of those, but you went to the
Yes.
one, yeah, you went to the one
The
in the north.
that's the main one. Yeah.
Okay, and now there's a lot of dark canyons in Utah. I was given a story, a really pretty scary Bigfoot story up in northern Utah. The Northeast, and these people were walking down this spiraling canyon, and this thing was basically following them, and they could see it as they'd look up, and it would see them, and then they had to keep walking to try to get away from it. And it was like a really big, broad-shouldered, Bigfoot-looking creature, but they said it had really skinny legs, and I was like, wow, that's weird. It was like a bodybuilder that skipped leg day. So that's a weird thing. They told me that story, you know. So I'm gonna tell that one day. I was gonna do one just about just misshapen Bigfoot. You know, some of you got these different stories of these weird Bigfoot. You know, like this one that this guy described as a huge underbite to where it looked like the top of its mouth was deformed or something. I was like, that's weird. But I
Oh,
guess it
that is.
takes all kinds. So you had an incident, a dogman incident.
I don't know. We didn't know if it was a dog man, but everyone said it was a werewolf. I don't know when it happened. And like I say, people have different views of what in this incident when it happened. They had cops. Well, let me start from here. My sister lived on top of this hill, and she had her kid the kids and my son was down in there down and spending the night with her and everything, playing with the kids and stuff. And then her boyfriend was a cop in this he was a tribal cop, came up, told my sister, you get the kids into the house. Don't let them come out because there's something coming this way. And so she let all the people, you know, all the kids go in the house and everything. And they decided to open the window in the living room. And she was like, no, we need to go downstairs. So they went downstairs and they were all huddled in this bedroom that she had. And they could hear the cops coming. And they hear the sirens playing. So I guess they headed right back up into the living room and they were looking out the window and they said they could see all these patrol cars, just sirens going. And there was the trash can was being put, you know, doing its thing. Dogs are barking and everything like that. And on the scanner, one of my family was telling me that they were chasing a werewolf and it was going really fast. One of the guys that was chasing it said it was leaping from house to house. When there was houses that were close, it was leaping house to house. And then it started running down by the river bottom and they were still chasing it. And some guy had shot it. But it didn't do anything. It didn't flinch or nothing like that. It just kept on going. And this other place is like from another town over. It's a small little town. And it was like, oh, geez, about 5 miles, maybe 6 miles away from where they saw it. It ran down there and it got there like in 10 minutes, 15 minutes flat. And they, it was gone after that. But yeah, it caused a lot of commotion. And there was also another story of a woman that was cut. She was on this road and she was coming around the bend. She stopped and that's when she said this dog man or werewolf thing was, she said it was a giant dog. It looked at her, came over and slammed his paw on, or his hand on her hood. And then it just walked off like it disturbed him walking, you know, and it just slammed her hand or his hand on the hood. She turned around, went to the police station, and the police there said, we don't want to hear it. We're not going to investigate it. Leave it alone. So she decided to go to hire people. And they said the same thing to her. Don't bother with any of that. Don't say nothing to nobody. But obviously she did, you know. And so anyways, and a couple of years go by. And then we hear another story from one of the people that we know's grandmother. It was during deer season. And our culture is that when you hunt for the first time, you give the elder your first kill of the deer. And so the person gave the elder, and it was a grandmother, the first deer that she had shot. So she was skinning it, deboning it, you know, doing its, you know, cutting it up and everything like that. She decided to throw a couple of bones to the dogs that were outside. Now there's a fenced in area and there's a lawn, and there's a sidewalk. And she said that when it was going down it was evening, it was still lit a little bit to where she can see the dogs outside just, you know, gnawing on their bones and stuff. But when she sat there, she saw something out there just like, you know, chewing at a really weird way. So she went over there and she had a screen door and she was like in, you know, an old native lady, like, "Hi, you get away from the, you know, the stupid dog, get away from my dog's bone, you know, give it back," or something like that. And this thing looked up at her and she couldn't believe her eyes. And this thing come walking towards her and it just put his hands up on the screen door and looked at her. And she sat there and just started praying. And then it just kind of looked at her, and it just, she looked down. She didn't want to look at it. And it just walked away and went out the fence. She said it was a skinwalker. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so, yeah, that was a really crazy story, you know, and they have a lot of things down there running around. A few months ago, there was something running around, getting into their trash, getting, you know, letting the dogs bark all crazy. They heard a cry from the river. And now when they said they hear a cry from the river, everybody says it's a water baby. And my aunt, a long time ago, was telling us a story about that. She said she went up to this lake, and they had to figure out how much water is supposed to come out of the lake for irrigation for the farmers down below. So they went up there, they were assessing the lake or the pond area and everything. And there's these tall weeds and cattails all the way around it and everything. So she went over to the edge of the water. She looked down and she saw something coming up, like, you know, swimming up towards her, but it was facing her. And she's like, what the heck is that? So she called them other people over, the guys come over and look at this thing. So when they were looking in there, they saw this face in the water. It had little arms, and it was like, you know, waving, like, you know, treading. And the bottom, she couldn't see because of the grass, but she said this thing looked like a bulldog. The face was squished in. It had a little bit of hair on its head, and it looked like, the skin, it was slimy, it was weird. Then she saw others, like little ones, coming up from the back of it, and they were all like facing these people that were looking into the water at it. That's when the guys said, let's go, we will not deal with that right now, let's go, we'll deal with this thing later. And they said it was water babies. Now, water babies, a long time ago, my mother told me that this one lady went down to the river bottom, and she had a little baby, and when the little baby would cry, she would tell her shush, 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 you know. And so they were doing a laundry down there by the river bank. And she said that when the lady got up to go and put the laundry into a basket, and when she went back, the baby was gone. And they said that the water baby had gotten it. Water babies in Nevada at Pyramid Lake, you could hear them out in the Lake Powell. They can hear them crying. They said, when you hear something like that crying by water, do not go there.
That's crazy. So, because I mean, like in the Mexican culture, we have La Llorona, which is like, but it's like a woman who drowned her children.
Yeah.
And that's all the time we have for this week, folks. Join us next week for the second of this two-part episode for more strange and bizarre encounters with cryptids, creatures, and all kinds of supernatural and paranormal phenomena from Utah and the Skinwalker Ranch. But until next week, from all of us here at the PRT family, good night.